said, "Yes, that's right."
Well, the
girls pay to keep all of
the dog. How does the what does the dog do? How does it control a cow? How does it motivate it to move? Does it bite at its heels? Does it grab its nose?
Well, there is some dogs that get them by the heels. Bark, but they don't have to normally put their mouth on them.
Uh-huh.
We've got some, or had many of them that wouldn't bite them. But they can't stand that barking in the ears right out of like that. When they get out from like that, they normally come right back to the bunch. They want to get back in that bunch.
And so dogs are just naturally bred to understand that they're trying to get the...
It more or less has to be bred in them. I have had, though, some of the little dogs I've picked up out of colored towns.
Mm-hmm.
Just plain little dogs that made good dogs, made good cow dogs. But at that time, I was sleeping with them. The dog slept with me and my horse and stayed in the woods week in and week out.
Uh-huh. Would you work with a few dogs at a time? Or?
Oh, yeah. You can have, too many dogs sometimes will cause you trouble.
They'll fight among
themselves. You can get too many, and whenever they go, more than likely they're hard to stop, unless you do, like you said, shoot them with that rat shot.
Mm-hmm.
But two or three good dogs as much as you need on a big bunch of cattle.
So you really rely on that dog. Well, what about the horse? What when you're out in a roundup, what demands do you have on the horse? What does it have to...
He watches the cows too.
Mm-hmm. Is he know how to move in and
pretty well trained?
Oh yeah, you train them.
Uh-huh.
They
have all kinds of signals. If you put your feet into the front of the front legs, won't it get down on its knees or something? And you can have it back up and go sideways.
That's the trick business. We don't go in for that.
Well, what kind of things can you make your horse, can you have your horses do?
All mine is trained for is just where I can use that whip off of them. There's a lot of horses right today that think they can't stand that whip being popped off and they can't swing it around the head, but train them for that to start with, and then to rope off them too. Whenever they see you throw that rope and catch a cow, you want them to stop.
Uh-huh.
And they can hold it if you want to, like roping up big calf or something, you can get off and walk up there. I know you're sure you've seen rodeos where they rope them calves.
Now, do you have saddle horns on your saddles?
Yeah.
Horns, oh,
what
yeah.
What kind of saddles do you have?
The picture of mine is right back up there on that wall. I have two Boney Allen saddles. One is a flat rope Boney Allen saddle, and the other one is a bronc, what they call a bronc saddle, with big horns around like this. In other words, a horse go to bucking, he's got to do a lot of bucking. He can't get you out of it. That saddle holds you in. There's times when I've had them to fall with me that I wish them horn wouldn't have been there because I couldn't get out of it. It fit me too tight.
Albert, he asked the question how important a horse was. Now, let me give you my characterization.
Sure.
You ever been in the military?
Nope.
Well, in the Army, the rifle is all important to that soldier. You protect it before you protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And a horse is that important to a cowman.
What kind of horses did you use?
You can use most any horse, but they use most of these big ranches now. They have full-blooded quarter horses, but mine, the two I have are half quarter horses. They have out of registered quarter horse blood, but the other half is just common horse.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the most demands on a horse are put on it when it's actually in the pen trying to cut separate the cattle, right?
They don't do a whole lot of cutting with a horse anymore. They have the pens arranged to where they cut the cattle with gates mostly. Get and stand at the gates on. Some of them have cutting chutes where you can put them down a chute and cut one way and one another. Separate them that way.
But back in the old
days,
how was it?
Much easier. They took a lot of work out of the cattle deal for a cowman. A whole lot of it's taken out.
Well, back in the old days, how was it?
The old days, that's the way it was done with the horses. You just got right in there and worked the horse down.
Would that be would it be one person in there with the horse and a whole pen of cattle, or would it be several people in there?
It would be several of us in the pen back in years ago would be.
Was there much of a sense of proving yourself as a skillful rider? you know, I have the idea of people watching that and kind of a test of manhood.
You're
something.
Gonna find this in anything I guess you go at. There's gonna be some better than others.
Mm-hmm.
You find that in anything you go about. There's some, ain't that right, Charlie?
That's right. See, the economics, what you haven't touched on yet, that cow produces one calf a year.
Uh-huh.
And that's all that guy had to live on. Uh-huh. And he had to get that calf and make sure that calf survived.
Uh-huh.
And that was the important facet, see.
And so the calves are born in spring, right?
Yeah, in this area.
Uh-huh. How's it differ from other areas?
Well, up the country where they feed them and have them in barns, I think someplace in the cold country they're actually born in the height of wintertime in the barns, aren't they, Albert?
I couldn't answer that. Uh-huh. I really don't.
You know, I've read, but they're never calved outside in the snow
uh-huh.
because they're freeze, see?
Right.
But down here they're calved in the spring because the native grasses has come along
uh-huh.
and that can has high nutrients in it
uh-huh.
to help that cow produce sufficient milk to nurse that calf. Plus, build her body condition back up to get ready to get the next year's thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing cycle.
Let's see, we talked about the cows, and we talked about the dogs and the horses. We talked about the first hunt in the spring when you go out to find the cattle that have just been born, and you bring them back into a pen and cut them, mother them, and brand them and mark them.
That's right. That was when they would run at large before
uh-huh.
the fence law came into effect.
Before the fences. Well, the second time that you would go out and round up the cattle would be in the summer, late summer?
Late summer. I would say in late July or August they'd get the beef cattle in.
Uh-huh. And so how would you choose which cattle? What do you look at when you're choosing a cow to be slaughtered?
Well, the ones that would be in the best condition.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, yeah, and the thin ones would be left out there, maybe for a year or two longer.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, they just sold the steers
mm-hmm.
and left the heifers. So you took all the steers, no matter what.
No matter what, huh? That's right. That's something we forgot to mention. When you're marking and branding in the spring, you can also castrate them to make the steers, right?
Right.
What kind of tool is it that you use for that?
Right here.
That here?
Pocket knife.
We use those.
What's this called?
Masculator.
Masculator? How does one work that?
Well, all you'd have to do is get the testicle, put it in there, and put it together, and it didn't make any blood at all. It's called a bloodless, and it doesn't even break the skin. But you can take a newspaper and a grocery cord and put the grocery card in between the newspaper, and that thing will cut the grocery card, and it won't even dent the paper. It'll
mm-hmm.
just automatically cut that grocery card. And we had to use this when the screw arm was so bad.
Uh-huh.
But up until then, we always used a knife, and this day we used a knife. I had these on hand since then, and which they're still good. A lot of my neighbors, every once in a while, it's got two or three head of cows.
Thanks.
Wants one castrated,
uh-huh.
and they don't want to use a knife, so I'll take them and castrate them with the masculator. They do a good job.
Albert, did you tell him the tale about how the dog found the man that laid in the woods for 3 days?
He told me that over there, but why don't we say it for the prosperity?
Well, my boss man had a large pasture up in Duval County, and I had this particular dog I was telling you about that I like so well.
The lady?
Yeah. The dog's name was Ring.
Ring?
Ring. She had a ring neck.
R-I-N-G?
I was riding across the woods, and this was on a Tuesday, and I saw the dog go galloping across, leaving me, and my partner was with me. He happened to be he went one direction and me another, and we were gathering cows and calves to mark and brand. So I saw the dog stop over there, and she stood up, and I saw her wag her tail like that, and I knew she'd found something. So I rode on over to where she was at. I saw this man laying on the ground, face down, and he heard my horse's hoofs hitting the ground, coming like that, and he held his head up. He was paralyzed. A Negro shot him. This was on a Tuesday. A Negro shot him on Thanksgiving Day, and hit him in the spine with a .38 bullet and paralyzed him. And, well, this, I'm ahead of my story. This guy was an automobile salesman, and he was demonstrating this car to this Negro, and he made He held this gun on him and made him sign an affidavit all over to him, whereas he had bought the car, purchased the car. He stops the car. This was in a wooded area on a back road. He took this man out and marched him across the woods at least a quarter of a mile from the road. Stripped him off of his clothes, told him to pull off all his clothes, and then told him to run. And when he ran, he said he heard the pistol fire, the gun fire, and he didn't remember anything else, and he hit him in the spine, and he fell face down. Well, in that length of time, from Thanksgiving Day on until the Tuesday, I found him. It had been some frosty nights. It was cold weather, a real white frosty morning. But the pine straw, and it was on a blackjack ridge. He'd raked leaves around him with his hands, just laying face down, and had piled them around him. Like, that all he had on was the undershirt when I found him. And he was so happy that I had found him. He says, "Can't you do something?" And his voice was just. He says, He told me what happened. He says, "A nigger did this to me." And he told me when it happened. Oh, he says, "What day is it now?" And I told him, I said, "It's Tuesday." He said, "Well, can you help me?" I said, "Yes. Just a few minutes." He says, "Give me a drink of water." And I had a canteen of water on my saddle. We used to carry a canteen of water. I wouldn't give him a drink of water. I just turned my horse around and I started popping whip from the partner. And I popped about three or four fast pops like that. And he was a mile from me, I guess. And I heard him answer me, but he knew that I was in one place cracking my whip and there was something wrong.
Right.
So he came galloping back to me on his horse, and I told him. And that fella kept calling to me. He says, "Please don't leave me." I said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm getting help." So this fella came back to me, and I told him, I said, "There's a fella over here on the ground." And I really didn't know whether he was black or white because the dust from that old dry soil. But anyway, this fella's with me. He said, "Yeah." And they were putting that... I can't name that road. Well, it's that alternate that went through that skin of pasture at the time when they put that through there.
U.S. 1 alternate.
Yeah. And he went up. They were just starting to build that, bulldozing it. He ran out there and talked to a foreman out there. And so the foreman went to a foreman, called the ambulance service. And, of course, wasn't long for the deputies and the ambulance came out there. Well, it was in such a wooded area. The ambulance, it wasn't one of these rescue squads, I mean little ones, it was a big ambulance when it came. It got stuck and we had a job getting it out. But anyway, they put him up, I picked him up. They had a little bit of crushed ice, those people did, and gave him, and he begged for water. He just continuously begged for water. Well, I told him when I got there, I said, "He wants water, but I got a full canteen." But when he said, "Don't give him no water." I said, "If you'd have give him your canteen, he wouldn't give it back until he tried it, and you'd have killed him."
Yeah.
Said he'd die there. But I guess, as far as I know to this day, I got Christmas cards from him for many, many years. He'd send me a Christmas card every year. But we had to go up in Jacksonville court, and that old judge really talked to that Negro. He stood there, and it was in the wintertime. But cold sweat came down off of his face, and he said, "There's only one way." Well, they first, they brought this guy in on a...
Stretcher,
yeah. Rolled him in there. The old judge asked him, he said, "Well, do you know the guy that found you out there in the woods?" He said, "Yes, sir, if I ever saw him." Mm-hmm. So he just tried to find out. He brought two or three different people up there. He said, "Is this the man that found you?" I said, "No, sir." Called up somebody else. He come up to me and says, "Is this the man?" He said, "No, sir." So when he finally called me, I was about third, maybe fourth, he called me up, and I walked trying to find him. He said, "This is a man that found me in the woods." He knew me from that day, and I only saw him the little while out there when they were loading me in the Amazon. But that was quite an experience. But they gave that Negro natural life, and he said, the old judge talked to him. He gave him a talk, and he says, "There's only one way that I could see sufficient punishment for you was to be give somebody a gun and put you in the same shape that you've put this man in right here."
Imagine the man.
But he says the law don't allow me to do that.
Yeah.
What year was that, Albert?
I can't remember. I don't remember.
Let's see. It must have been about
31
years ago.
Well, I would say
it must have been about 45 when I was in service. When
I really don't remember.
I thought Mary was born, and she was born
Yeah. Well, it was after that, that's right.
So it was after 1947?
Yeah. Wow. Maybe in the 50s.
So that whip certainly came in handy.
Oh, yeah, that back whip played a big part when one day. Yeah, if the dog wouldn't have been moving, yeah, I'd never found him. I'd have passed him on by. Yeah. But she got scent of him, and she went on over to him, and that's how I come to find him.
You know, the important thing about these, you hear people use the phrase crackers.
Right.
These old cracker, poor cracker families, they are the best people ever walked this earth. They can do the most with the leastest of anybody on earth.
The most with the least.
We didn't have nothing to start with.
That's a good reason, huh?
That's right. Testimony, Levin.
We didn't have anything to start with.
You take that whip and a horse and a dog and control a large herd of cows.
Well, it sounds like it's a real integrated system. I mean, it sounds like it's more than just your own
family
self.
Affair. It's family affair.
But what I mean, when you're working, do you get the feeling that it's you and the dog and the whip and the horse and all
and his wife
synchronized? Yeah?
And his wife sometimes.
How's that? How's she fit in there?
She fits in there, helping him run across the pasture and try to catch him and hold the owl. When he catches him, helps him.
Yeah,
now, that's
the
truth.
Yeah,
I believe you.
And when he got a new horse here a while back, he couldn't load it. I'd have to get up early in the morning and he'd drive a truck. And I'd say, walk ahead of her. He'd walk up ahead and she'd walk in the truck with him.
What kind of, is this a brand?
That's a number 9 brand.
Number 9
brand. But you can take and I put this in the fire and use that what you call a running iron. I have several running irons, uh-huh, and you can take and get that hot and put any kind of a brand you want on a car. I can write any kind of letter you want when that, uh-huh, gets hot on it.
Do you get it red hot? Is that
red
how
hot. And you really, if you're going
to
run,
wear some gloves, I guess.
Yeah, well, that crook helps in a lot of ways.
Thieves used to run that running iron, try and steal them.
I was going to say, you can make anything.
Yeah.
Did you have to heat it several times to use that hook?
Well, either that or if you're going to brand any amount of cows, you need to have 3 or 4 of them in the fire. When it gets a little cold, pick up another one and go on with it.
So how much did you rely on your rope when you were doing this?
I'll tell you, those ropes are mighty good things, but you want to let that rope be your last resort.
Uh-huh.
Whenever you rope a cow, you got to take that rope off. I let that be the last thing. If I can't pin one without it, then it's rope. But so I don't normally use it no more than I have to.
The rope is really something that you try not to use as much. Okay. Can you show us how this works?
Well, a little bit, but it's so stiff, that old rope. I just brought it along. It's kind of a little hope.
So the ropes were not actually made as part of the culture right there, the old hemp ropes that you had?
Yeah. Back during screw-worm days, we used to do a lot of roping out in the woods and doctoring screw-worm.
Uh-huh.
That was going on practically all day long with roping.
You've done this catching calves in a pen to mark them, too, use the rope.
And then the whips, Jesus, which you use the most, they're made out of deer skin.
Right.
And are they made locally? Is there a man?
There's a friend of mine that platted those whips there, but he doesn't want to plat anymore. He might can do it, but he's elderly, and he says it's not worth it. He says $200-$300. It's not worth it for him to plat one. But I saw one the other day. I never had seen one before. I didn't put my hands on it, but there's a boy got one that nylon. Made out of nylon.
Nylon whip.
I haven't seen it. I didn't put my hands on it. I don't know how good it works.
They're good, Albert.
It does.
Change it.
I've tried it. Yeah.
Well, I think. I guess they're expensive too, aren't they?
Yeah, $100 or more.
What's a whip like this cost?
Huh? Are they braided too?
Yeah, braided.
Huh.
They're machine braided.
Machine.
Uh-huh.
They're good, Willis.
So it's like. New technologies coming in all the time. He was saying about the gates, they're using gates to cut the cows and the mother.
Just to give you how animals adapt to new technologies.
Yeah.
On my farm, I buy feed in plastic bags, and in the springtime, birds will pick up those plastic threads that long and make the nest out of them. I should have brought it over here and showed you.
How about that? Yeah.
So they adapt to modern technology too.
Sure. Let's see, we've talked about quite a bit. What about, let's go off to the next kind of cow hunt for the beef. you'd go out, you'd decide what kind of beef cattle you wanted to take, you'd get them in a group, and then what's the drive like? How do you get them to market? What was that like in the old days?
Well, back in them old days, they normally picked out what they figured was fit to butcher beef. And they would leave the thin ones back out on the range. Well, maybe next year, that steer may be 5 or 6 years old, and they never sold anything back years and years ago until they got about 4 years old anyway, 3 to 4 years old. They wouldn't sell a two-year-old steer. But back in the scrub days, what we talked about a while ago, I've seen steers 4 years old, and we raise calves now 6 and 7 months old, we'll say maybe 8 months old, as heavy as the two-year-old steer was. They just, the bloodline has built it up so much, too.
So the scrub cows were smaller.
Well, they didn't have the food like we have nowadays either. You take the improved pastures, they have better food for them, they grow faster, the mother cow gives more milk, and so on, and we take better care of them, and it costs more money. That's why we can't get our money back when we get them raised, eh, Charlie? Time you figure the hay they eat during the winter, and the molasses and the protein, mineral we feed them, and tone. Sometimes you're going, if you don't raise a good calf, that cow is, don't pay for her feed through the winter.
What kind of hay do you use?
Well, there's all kinds of hay, but we more or less, well, Mr. Yuzina makes Cali. Yours is Cali Bermuda, isn't it, Charlie, mostly? I use Coastal Bermuda mostly, and some Alisa.
What kind of grass do you have?
Grass? Well, I have some Argentine Bahia, Pensacola Bahia, some Coastal Bermuda. Just a little bit, man, some of it. Native grass, just mixed up.
Have you experimented with the reintroducing the native grasses at all? I know there's a lot of that going down.
You talk about wiregrass?
Wiregrass and...
No, I'm just talking about this, some old carpet grass and what Bermuda grass comes up. And when you fertilize it, it gets better all the time.
Yeah, there's too many, you know, hybrid grasses coming on stream now that just puts those old grasses to shame.
Because I was just reading that they were doing some research down in, near Ona on using native rangelands with some of the native grasses.
It's just something you want to remember. The next time you're riding down the road and you see an old cow out there in the pasture, that is the most efficient machine that can convert refuse, trash, stuff that's unacceptable to you. That cow will eat it and convert that to a delicious steak for you to put on your table.
How about that?
I'll be back in a minute, Albert.
Okay.
Let's see. So you would ride the cat. You would drive the cattle. Say, how many at a time? How many men were involved, and how many cattle were involved in your annual late summer drive?
Well, it just depends. I don't know. It wouldn't be any accurate figure. I'll tell you, you hear people say, and I've heard them say, talk about how many hundred of head of cattle they drove at one time. Well, the largest herd of cattle I helped drive, I was on this drive, and I think there was about 5 or 6 of us. And this was over on the east side of the St. John's River. Those cattle fed. This was an open range. They was fed in the St. John's River and along the banks of the St. John's River and in the woods. We picked up one day, us cowboys, and drove into a big pen, and we were going to dip them. This was after the fever tick were eliminated. And we just decided that we...
To keep dipping up.
Dip again.
Good man.
So, When we dipped that herd of cattle, we picked them up this day and drove them in, and it was a pretty sight. It would be a pretty sight now for most anybody to see. It was open, flat woods, and there wasn't pine trees as thick as we have them today. And so we had, when we dipped them, we had 499 head. Wow. I'll never forget it because somebody said, it looked like you would have found one more where you could have 500. you take 500 head of cattle in one body driving, it covers a big piece of territory. They were strung, I would say, a half a mile long, and they were a quarter mile wide. And those old dogs, that's where they play a big part too. In that driving, you're naturally going to have some cows that's going to want to trot and keep going way ahead, just old idiots, I'd call them. But you could send those dogs on ahead of them, and they'd get up there and hold those cattle up together until we could get those back cattle pushed on together, until they met them up together.
Did you ever have any problem with stampede or something like that?
Yes, they would, but not like what you read about or hear about
or
that
you
they
see
have
on TV.
Had. Yeah, right. The worst that I ever witnessed, we had 300 head. We'd gathered them 2 days, and we'd driven them about 12 miles. And we had a big wire pen that we put them in to hold them overnight. And we camped there, and we was going to move them on into another county the next day. Well, there was a friend of ours came out from St. Augustine, and we was camping by well, it was just a graded road at that time, which is a state highway now. He came out to visit with us. Well, we was all so tired, and I was just so give out after we had supper and fed and horses and dogs and so on. I was more or less laying down there and we were on the ground. This fella came out and sat and talked, visited, till about 10 o'clock, I believe it was. Well, he had a big car, and he said, well, I'm going to tell you all good night, I'm going home. He got up, walked to his car, and those cows, you couldn't hear a sound. They was all bedded down, and we thought they were so give out, you know, from all that driving. When he said good night and slammed that car door and started the motor up on that car, they all woke up. They hit that fence on the north end of it, and they just laid it down when they went to every one of them.
Yeah, cows.
And we had to get up, saddle our horses. And it was black night, but if you leave a light to get out, it's dark, sure enough. But if you in the dark to start with, you know you can see your vision, I guess, well. And we rounded those cattle up and brought them back with us and the dogs and put them back in that corral. There was, I think, three of us camping there with them. We decided we couldn't fix the fence back like it was supposed to be, and we kind of pulled it up and propped it up. We left our horses tied to trees, and we lay down there just in case that that were happening. Well, don't you know it? Then it was about an hour later. They must have something gave them a fright, or they thought about what happened to start with.
They
jumped up
again
and started over again. And we had that same thing. But then the next day, we moved them in from there, which was about 20 miles, into Flagler County. And had a big pasture over there to put them in. But I'm telling you, that was a terrible, I've never been any give out, worse give out cow driving in my life than I was at that time. But talk about stampeding, that was a stampede right there. I'm telling you, if you they would have trampled up anything got in their way then. That herd of cattle, they just forced.
Yeah, they're like that. I've seen them go.
When they get running, they just panic when they get like that. They just go, I guess, they'd have run into that building there
when
they were like that. They were scared, had a fright. Well, I think I'm just about talked out.
Okay. Let's just go over these last couple things in here. What's this? Purpose of this?
That's nose tongs to put in a cow's nose and to hold the head up, and those are guns to give a medicine with.
And so you would use these together?
You can use them separate. This here. It's a pill gun. You put a pill in that, the big boulder's pill like that, and hold the nose up like that, and push this way down by the root of the tongue, and push it down the throat like that.
That makes them.
But I'll tell you what will happen in a case like that, too. You know, a cow belches up their food.
Yeah.
See? I have did that and thought it was gone. Turn them out the pen, they'll go off like that by 30 and give a big cough, and out the pill goes, too, sometimes. That's a liquid. You give them a liquid with that.
And so this is just for their medicine and stuff.
That's right. That's all.
Put that in their nostrils.
No, that's right.
Pull it in a
pull
close tight.
Yeah.
And then of course.
That's spurs. The spurs to go on the heels to make the slow horse get faster.
Well, it's certainly been nice talking to you about.
Yes, but now you haven't. I'm not wanting to get them into any trouble, but Mr. Solana can tell you something about farming because he's been farming too. He's a farmer.
Yeah, we'll get into that. right now. Did you bring any of your farming and that?
Yeah, things with you? Yeah, I should be digging potatoes today.
You only about half through, eh?
Yeah.
Well, maybe the price will get better. They talking about them getting high. I hope they will.
Your name is Mr. Slater?
Slater.
Slater. Are there any questions anybody had before Mr. Triag?
How far would we move them?
Yeah, rounded them up and to.
Well, it just depends. Back in the older days before the fence law came in effect, we had different camps and cow pens that normally we have driven them from the St. John's River into St. Augustine, which would be, I would say, 25 to 30 miles, wouldn't it?
Yeah, give and take.
I'm talking about the river all the way across there.
How many days does that take?
It might not have been quite that far because we'd go through the woods, right? It wouldn't follow the road.
Uh-huh.
How long? Well, you'd have to make an early start to crack of dawn and get in sometime after dark.
Mm.
I drove many a herd of cattle in 9 and 10 o'clock at night where you just...